Yesterday in my devotions, I was reading about Gehazi and Elisha and Naaman, who was cleansed. And one of the things that was jumping off the pages of Scripture to me was Naaman went to Elisha and he thought he was going to be cleansed. Quick, Jiffy, pray, and leprosy's gone. The Bible says about him that he said, I thought surely that it was going to happen this way. And Elisha told Naaman, go dip in the dirty Jordan 7 times. And Naaman's thinking was contrary to what God was going to require in his life in order for the leprosy to be cleansed. Naaman, guess what? Naaman was cleansed. He finally followed what the prophet told him to do. And he got in line with God's plan for his life, but he had to change his thinking. Gehazi, Elisha's servant, said, I know Elisha said, as the Lord liveth, we don't need to take anything from you, Naaman, for what God did in your life. But Gehazi said, the master said, but. And Gehazi had the same problem that Naaman had. And that was the man of God spoke, and he thought differently. And I wrote down in my Bible, Gehazi is a maverick. Because Gehazi went and ran after Naaman and lied to Naaman that Elisha had sent him and took from Naaman. And it's interesting, Naaman submitted and was cleansed. He submitted to the word of God, the man of God in that day, and he was cleansed. Gehazi went outside of the man of God, and he and his family both came down with leprosy. I was praying over the preaching service this morning in my devotions, having read that. And I thought about this. I thought about the number of times that we get together and the Word of God is preached, but somebody's thinking a different direction. And somebody's thinking in opposition to God's Word. And that has to change. And here's my prayer for this morning's message as I read that. I said, Lord, if there's somebody that in their mind is opposing or thinking differently about salvation, God, would you change their mind by the Word of God and the power of your Spirit this morning through this morning's message? We're in a series entitled Answers to Life's Meaningful Questions. Last week I dealt with the question of meaning. Why in the world am I here? Why in the world am I on this earth? This morning I want to deal with the question of belief. What should I believe, preacher? And I really want to deal with this thought. Are all religions equal? There is so much out there today as to what to believe. Are all religions equal? You know, this sincere question often forms in somebody's mind or heart that has not maybe understood everything about the Word of God. Do all religions lead to God? Isn't that the main thing, preacher, that all religions lead to God? And the answer to that question is a resounding no. They do not all lead to God. Preacher, don't all roads lead to heaven? I mean, somebody over here believes this and somebody over here believes this. And as long as they're sincere in their belief, preacher, don't you think that God would look down and say, well, you might not have it all right, but I'm not going to question your sincerity. I'm going to allow you to come into heaven. And the answer to that question is a resounding no. Not all roads lead to heaven. Doesn't everybody basically believe the same, preacher? I mean, you know, if I sat down with a Pentecostal and a Catholic and a Jehovah Witness and a Buddhist and a Muslim, and we sat down and we just talked about things in general, don't you think we would all basically believe the same way? And the resounding answer to that question is no. No. With all the different religions, how can I know which one is correct? Do you know in colleges today they have classes that you can take called world religion or world religions? Most of those classes in our colleges and universities today come from a historical perspective. But may I remind you that the Bible is the only reliable world history book. The Bible is the only reliable world history book. It is completely accurate. And by taking a look at Acts 17 and other passages this morning, I believe that we can answer the question authoritatively from the Scriptures, are all religions equal? Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. I would say today that while religions are different, sometimes they all have common denominators in them. And I want you to be I want to be very frank with you this morning. I am preaching against religion. What I'm preaching against this morning is religion. Because religion has a number of things that are enemies of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we're going to understand the gospel, then we have to understand what is threatening the gospel in our personal lives. And so in Romans chapter 1, the Bible defines and describes a religious people. In verse number 18, the Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them." Do you understand that every individual that's ever been created by God, God has revealed Himself in them. He's revealed Himself to them. He's done it through creation by showing that He's made the worlds. Whether they believe that or not, it doesn't matter. It's the truth. It doesn't matter if you believe in creation or evolution. Creation is the truth. We know it from God's Word. In the beginning, God created. And that settles and shuts down evolution. The very first verse of the Bible does away with evolution. He revealed Himself through creation. He revealed Himself by putting a conscience in each and every one of us. We have a conscience that tells us what is right and what is wrong. And thirdly, He has revealed Himself through Christ. Christ coming to the earth. To every man, He has revealed Himself. Now, look at verse number 20. "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." It's from God. "Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that all people are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." Here's the truth about religion from this passage. Religion is man developing his own view of God and his own way to God. Brethren, we have this all the way back in the Old Testament in the Tower of Babel, where man said, "We're going to build this huge tower so that we can reach unto God." That's religion. In this passage, in Romans chapter 1, that when they knew God, what they knew about God, they rejected God as that kind of God and said, "We're going to redefine God and we're going to redefine our way to God." When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. She sang the song, "We're to glorify God." Beautiful message and song about glorifying God. But you understand that religion makes its own choice about how it's going to glorify God. Religion is man developing his own view of God. They don't want a holy God. Religion doesn't want a holy God. Religion doesn't want a knowable God. Religion wants a God that they can manufacture. Religion wants a golden calf God that they can build with their hands and they can worship. A golden calf God that they're not accountable to. Religion wants their own way to God. Many people do not want to believe in a God who demands righteousness and morality. So they invent a God which makes no such requirements. That's what we have in Romans 1. So that they can live any old way that they want. That's religion today, brethren. So they invent a God who accepts people into heaven if they've completed certain steps or followed certain rules or partaken of certain sacraments or at least done the best to their ability. You know why I know that religion has permeated America? When I talk to people about their souls, You know what their answers are? I'll ask a question like this. If you were to stand at the gate of heaven and God were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? And you know what they... Common answer. I've lived a pretty good life. I feel like God would look at my life and say, your good is better than your bad. Come into heaven. It's religion. It's redefining who God is and His expectations. And it's also redefining and making my own way to get to heaven. My friend, I'm sorry. That is the enemy of the gospel. Religion is the enemy of the gospel. May I say this? Religion is not only man developing his own view of God and his own way to God, but religion is belief, can be belief in the God of heaven or other gods or no God at all. See, religion says, whatever I believe is right. It doesn't matter what you believe, whatever I believe is right. So, somebody may say, I'm an atheist, I don't believe there is a God. Well, you have religion. You've made up your own mind about something, thrown the Word of God out, thrown the existence of God out, but you still believe in something. You believe that there is no God. You believe in religion. Huh. One of the things about Old Testament Israel that brought a lot of attack on Israel is they believed in one God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4, the Bible says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There are a lot of other groups of people in Israel's day, in Bible history, that believed in the multiplicity of gods. But Israel believed in one God. One God. But did you know that you can believe in one God and go to a devil's hell? Because one God is not Jesus saving you from your sin. It's interesting when we get to the New Testament, we get to Jewish people in Acts chapter 17, and some of them believed. Now watch this. All of them believed in one God. But when Paul alleged that Christ must suffer and rise again, some of those Jews said, okay, I'm turning my back on the sacrifices and keeping the law, and I'm taking Christ. Christ is the answer. And some of the Jews said, no, I'm not. I'm going to hold on to all this. I'm going to hold on. Watch this. I'm going to hold on to religion. By the way, the Jews are God's chosen people, but I want you to understand if they reject Christ, they are not going to God's heaven. Jews must come the way that Gentiles must come, the way that every man must come, and that is through God's Son, Jesus Christ. And so, it is popular belief in America today to believe in God. You met people that believe in God? I meet people that believe in God. Seventh inning of our baseball games when people were able to attend. God bless America. That doesn't mean they're going to heaven, folks. That doesn't have anything to do with heaven. That somebody believes in God, the God of heaven even, does not mean that they're going to heaven. That's just religion. That's just religion. They may believe in other gods. They may believe in Muhammad. They may believe in Buddha. They may believe in their relic or their statue of Mary in their house. All of that is religion. Religion. Do you know the devils believe in God? James chapter 2, verse number 18, the Bible says, yea, a man say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. It's good to believe that there's only one God, the God of the Bible. But he follows that with the devils also believe and tremble. Or in other words, believing in one God doesn't take a person to heaven. I think we need to understand that. I think we need to understand that religion can believe in the God of the Bible. Religion may believe in other gods. Religion may not believe in any God. But remember, religion is redefining who God is, making the God that you want, and then making your own way to God. And in that sense, my friend, all religions are equal. And may I say this authoritatively on the Scriptures, all religions then are false doctrine. They're false doctrine. Jesus, the Bible says in John chapter 1, came unto His own. His own being who? Oh, the Jewish people, right? The Jewish people that believe that there's one God. And in John chapter 1, verse number 11, He came unto His own, and His own did what? They received Him not. Did they believe in one God? Yes. Did they believe in Jesus Christ? No. No, we're not going to believe in Jesus Christ. We're not going to believe that He's the Savior. We're not going to turn and put our complete faith in His finished work on Calvary. We're going to keep working to keep the law and do the sacrificial system. And He came unto His own, and the Bible says His own, watch this, the religious of the day received Him not. By the way, those were people like Pharisees and Sadducees. I want you to know, those are people that knew the book that they had in their day. I want you to know Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, they knew that inside and out. By the way, better than all of us knew. They were but religious people. I want you to understand, you can know the Bible back and forth and still be a religious lost person headed to a devil's hell. It's important that we understand religion this morning because it is an enemy of the gospel. On the other part of that, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not, but as many as received Him. To them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Religion is belief in a God, or the God, or gods, and adds man's reason, rituals, and works to one's belief as necessary for salvation. I want you to see this morning a number of truths that we find in God's Word about religion. First of all, religion is a perversion of the gospel. Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter number 1. In Galatians chapter 1, the pure gospel came to the churches of Galatia. The pure gospel being the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and that alone being the complete payment for a man's sin. But I want you to also know that in the region of Galatia, amongst these churches, there was still a stronghold of religion called Judaism. And Judaism would say this, yes, Jesus died, but you also need to keep the law in order to be justified. Or you have to do certain works or enough works that you're accepted in the eyes of God. And Paul's writing to those churches in the region of Galatia where the stronghold of Judaism is present, and it is also reaching into the church. And he writes these words. He writes in verse number 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert or corrupt the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. You think Paul was bold about this? You think Paul was bold about preaching against religion? He said, if there's anybody among you that troubles you and tries to corrupt the gospel, let that person be accursed. It's an enemy to the gospel of Christ. And what was he speaking about? He was speaking about the religion of the Jews. And he was saying, don't let that enter into your heart. There is a pure gospel. It is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, a sinless Christ, a blood-stained Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Don't add anything to that. Don't add anything. That makes it a perversion of the gospel. You say, preacher, what if I'm in my heart, I believe in Jesus, but I also believe in living a good life to get to heaven? Can I be very clear with you this morning? According to the gospel of Christ, you are not a saved individual. You are a lost individual. You cannot believe in Christ plus something. That does away with the sufficiency of Christ. And so if you're saying, well, I believe in Christ, but I'm adding Christ to my baptism and my communion and my confirmation and the good things that I've done in my life. Listen to me this morning. You need to repent of your sin and trust in Christ alone. That is biblical salvation. Not adding Christ to religion. Okay? Religion is a perversion of the gospel. Number two, religion is the broad way to destruction. It is the broad way to destruction. Turn over in your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. The Bible describes the gospel way as a narrow way. And it also describes it as few there be that find it. The Bible describes religion as a broad way. A broad way that many go by, many go on, the scripture says here, and it leads to destruction. Destruction. One leads to life, eternal life. And one leads to destruction. And then he concludes this passage. Enter ye in at the straight gate in verse 13. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And then he says, what's the next word? Beware. Beware of what? Beware of false prophets. What are false prophets going to do? They're going to direct you towards the broad way. In the context of Scripture, folks, we're studying the Scripture. Here's how the Bible's written. In the context of Scripture, there are false prophets that are going to lead people to a broad way. What's the broad way, preacher? One word. Religion. Religion. Religion is the broad way. It's the broad way that we make our own God. And we make up our own way to God. And brethren, you can't make up your own way to God. God made the way to God. And He made it through His Son. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5, the Bible says, for there's one mediator between God and man. One mediator between God and man. That's the man, Christ Jesus. Now the Holy Spirit penned these words for us to clearly understand that there is only one way, there's only one person that you get to God through, and that is God's Son, Jesus Christ. In John 14, verse number 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Brethren, the Bible can't make it any more clearer than that. God's word is crystal clear. In Acts 4:12, the Bible says this, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is one name under heaven, and that is Jesus. Religion is the broad way to destruction. It's adding works to the gospel. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5. But according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. You know these verses, many of you do. But you know what? It's good to rehearse them. It's good to strengthen our belief in what the Bible says about religion and true salvation. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Listen to these words. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift. It's not earned. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I want you to know that the Bible takes religion and it throws it out the window. And you ought to too. You ought to come to the conclusion in your life, whatever else I've been depending upon to get me to heaven, I'm throwing it away this morning. I am taking Christ and Christ alone. I am believing on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Religion is not only the broad way to destruction. Religion is a perversion of the gospel. Thirdly, religion is the opposite of the gospel. Religion is the opposite of the gospel. Religion depends in some form upon man. The gospel, faith in Christ, completely depends upon God. My friend, those are opposites. Religion says that I can depend upon myself in some way to get to heaven. I want you to understand, folks, I want you to be very careful, and I want to be very careful in how I explain this. But you really don't depend upon a prayer. You know what you depend upon to get to heaven? The work of Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection. That's what we depend upon. And if I'm depending upon a prayer, it's no different than a work. I'm depending upon Christ. When I come to Christ in prayer, I'm saying, Lord, I depend upon You. I can't fix my sin problem. I need the cross. I need the work of the cross and Your resurrection and Your blood. That's salvation. Religion is the opposite of the gospel. Remember this verse, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I want you to know religion's a faulty foundation. One preacher put it this way. He said, if you believe in religion, if you have any form of religion, you're standing on rotten boards over hell. And my friend, if you die with religion, those boards will break and you'll enter hell for eternity. Over believing in religion. Religion. I want you to understand this morning that religion never deals with sin God's way. Another truth about religion this morning is that it never deals with sin God's way. Go back to our text, Acts chapter 17. The Catholic Church history, they had indulgences, right? What would they do? They bring money to the Catholic Church to cover their sin. I want you to know money will never cover sin. It'll never cleanse from sin. People work really hard. They do something bad in their life and they think that the rest of their life they have to outwork and overwork doing good things to cover their bad thing. I want you to know that that never deals with sin. It never will deal with sin God's way. In Acts chapter 17, and Paul, as his manner was in verse 2, went in unto them in three Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging or presenting that Christ, watch these words, must needs have suffered. Why did Christ have to suffer? Because of your sin and my sin. That's what Paul was preaching. He must needs suffer. And risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. He had to suffer. Could I reason with you this morning by way of live stream and in our congregation this morning? If I could fix sin, if I could cover my sin, if I could figure out a way to do more that makes my sin look less in the eyes of God, then why did Jesus have to suffer His death for me? Why did He have to rise again from the dead for me? Paul was preaching the same truth, brother, and the gospel message has never changed. It has never changed. Since Jesus died on the cross for us, that gospel message has been broadcasted in nations around this world. In verse number 4, of Acts chapter 17, and some believed that day. Some changed their mind and said, I didn't realize I needed Him, but He alone is what I need. He suffered. And verse number 5 says what? And the Jews which believed not. As I preach about religion this morning, the sad fact of the matter is this. Some will continue to hold on to it. But thank God, some will say, do away with that. I'll take Christ. Religion never deals with sin God's way. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse 6, the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all, or the sins of us all. When Christ died, the primary purpose of His death was to take upon Him the sins of the world. And that includes your sin. You say, preacher, you don't understand. I've done horrible, horrible things. No, that includes the horrible, horrible things that every man and woman have done. The sins he's laid on him, the iniquity of us all. You understand, you can't be delivered from those sins any other way than the one that died for them, which is Christ. Religion is a perversion of the gospel. It's the broad way to destruction. It's an opposition to the gospel. It never deals with sin God's way. And fifthly, religion boasts in tradition and bypasses God's word. It boasts in tradition. Turn over in your Bibles to Mark 7. Mark 7. And summarizing this passage, the Pharisees and the scribes are mentioned here. And the Bible talks to them and addresses them. And in verse number 9 of Mark chapter 7, he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Here's the commandment of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Here's the tradition of man. Well, I'm just going to keep doing these things because I really believe they help me with God. And he said to the Pharisees and the scribes of that day, full well ye reject the commandment of God, and you hold on or you keep the traditions of men. My friend, if you're going to come to Christ and be born again, you have to do away with the traditions of man. And you have to come to belief in Christ alone. It boasts in tradition. And it bypasses the Word of God. I want you to know there's a cancel culture today in religion that strikes out the importance of the person and work of Christ. There's a cancel culture that cancels out using Jesus' name in prayer, in public. Don't use Jesus' name. You can talk about God, but don't use Jesus' name. There's a cancel culture in religion today that opens up many ways to heaven through the traditions of religion, all the time bypassing the work of Christ. There's a cancel culture today that wipes out the sinlessness of Christ so as to bring Jesus down to man's human level, that he couldn't die for mankind. And I say to you, it is the enemy of Christ. It is the enemy of the gospel. Religion gropes in darkness while refusing light. We see it in Isaiah 59. I don't have time to go there. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. But thankfully, at the end of that chapter, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob. Man, there were people groping in darkness, looking for hope, looking for light, and then Jesus came on the scene. Praise God. The songwriter wrote Amazing Grace, and in it Fanny Crosby, that wonderful hymn writer, the blind songwriter, described herself without Christ like this. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. Religion, I want you to understand, is a perversion of the gospel. It is the broad way to destruction. It is in opposition to the gospel. It never deals with sin God's way. I want you to know religion boasts in tradition while bypassing the Word of God. And it gropes in darkness and refuses the light. But the most poignant truth about religion, the most direct truth of the message, is that religion sends a person to hell. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. The bad thing about religion is that it's deceptive right up until the judgment. The picture that we have in Matthew chapter 7, I believe, is of the great white throne judgment. In Matthew chapter 7, there are people standing at the great white throne judgment. Watch this carefully. That are completely convinced that they are going to heaven. And here's the commentary on the judgment. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not, Lord, told others, maybe even about Jesus? And in Thy name have cast out devils? In Thy name done many wonderful works? Lord, am I not qualified to go to heaven? Look at His words in verse number 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I want you to understand these great, grandiose things that are mentioned here in casting out devils and doing wonderful works and prophesying in Christ's name. I want you to know that, notice, it doesn't do anything about their iniquity. The cardinal issue that must be dealt with in a person's life is their sin. And here's what He says. Give me all the things that you've done, my friend. That's religion. You have not dealt with your sin through my Son. You've not dealt with your sin through me. Christ is speaking these words. Depart from me. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Sad truth is that many are deceived by religion right up until the day of judgment before a holy God. There are many in hell today who sat in a communion service, who were baptized or sprinkled as a child, who did penance, who gave to the poor, who served as a Sunday school teacher, watch this, who preached behind a pulpit, who burned incense, who attended a prayer vigil, or were confirmed at a young age, but never did they come to God as a sinner and believe on Jesus Christ alone as the complete payment for their sins. Adolf Hitler said this, you tell a lie long enough and people will start to believe it as fact. I want you to know Satan has been breathing the lie of religion for hundreds of years. And people believe it as fact. Maybe you believe it as fact. I hope this isn't true, but it's possible that somebody in Mount Zion Baptist Church dies and goes to a devil's hell because of religion. I grew up in a preacher. I grew up in church. My parents told me to go to church. I went to church with them. I believed in God. I partook of the Lord's table. I was water baptized. But have you ever dealt with your sin before a holy God through Christ? Because if not, my friend, I don't care how many things you add to the list. In Matthew chapter 7, they could have gone on and on. But didn't I do this, Lord? But didn't I do? And He would have had the same answer, depart from me, I never knew you. Ye that work iniquity. Religion is all these things. To be religious is to be lost. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Religion hides people from the gospel. I can't tell you how many times Christians, born-again believers, have witnessed to people, cared for their soul, talked to them about Christ, and at the end of the conversation, well, that's what you believe. And I believe differently. And I think all roads lead to the same place. And my friend, I'm just trying to preach truth, the Bible, as clear as I can preach it this morning. I want you to know if you're religious, you're lost. I want you to know if you believe in religion, if you're holding on to something other than Christ, you're going to a devil's hell this morning. Satan has used religion to blind. It must be repented of. Religion must be repented of. What is repentance? It's a change of mind. It's a change of mind about sin. It's a change of mind about your need of Christ. It's a change of mind about Christ and His work. And if you're going to be saved, you must repent of religion and say, God, what I have believed in is false hope, is false doctrine. Lord, what I put all my stakes to, where I've staked out my life to, hoping that this would help me with You, does absolutely nothing. I see from the Bible I need Your Son. I close with this truth. Christianity is different from all religions. Christianity is about a relationship with God through the person and work of God's Son alone. Not dependent in any way upon a man's lifestyle or his works or his righteousness. A born-again Christian rests completely on the person of Christ. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. That's all of us. None of us have any righteousness before God. It says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in Isaiah 64 and verse number 6. But it says, for he, God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The only righteousness that matters is the righteousness of Christ. And you can have that through God's Son. Amen. What happens at salvation when a person believes on Christ? Christ takes sin out of your account. And he puts his righteousness in your account. My friend, that's the only way a person can be saved. Is God's way. Christianity is the only belief system that teaches man can do nothing to earn or pay his way to heaven. He needs Christ. All things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. My friend, this point is not up for debate. This point is not gray in Scripture, clouded, not clear. This point is very clear in Scripture. In fact, it is what the Bible is really all about. This truth. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see the word peace? You see the word reconciliation? Those are relationship words. I want peace with God. I want to be reconciled with God. I have an advocate with the Father, somebody to go to the Father on my behalf. It's Jesus. Christianity is all about relationship. Relationship with God through His Son. The Bible rejects religion as we defined it this morning. And the Bible makes this very clear. It makes eternal life very clear. I want you to listen to these verses, last verses of the message. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son, S-O-N, Jesus Christ, hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God, hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You see, it really does make a big difference as to what you believe. Let's say, preacher, I've talked to others and, you know, I've studied this thing out and I have just come to my own beliefs. You better study God's Word. You better throw everything out and you better look at God's Word. Because God's Word is absolute truth. He is always right. And whatever else you've read, whatever background you've been, whatever church or teaching you've been under, you better look at the book, because the book's going to tell you the truth. And God's Word has told us the truth this morning. Eternity is an awful long time, my friend, to be wrong. Eternity in hell is an awful long time for you to think about the religion that you believed in when you could have had a Savior and eternal life. Every spiritual battle starts in the heart. When Paul was preaching, there was battles going on in people's hearts. I'm going to believe. I'm not going to believe. This morning as I preach, I believe there may be someone who's battling in the heart. I'm not going to believe that. Or I am going to believe that. Today I'm going to believe that. She was a lovely young woman in her early 20s, a graduate of a university and a school teacher. She was vigorous. She was intensely alert, capable person. Christian worker talked to her about her own soul. Confidently, she smiled at the worker. "I've always been religious," she said. "My people were religious before me. Among my earliest memories are those connected with church and Sunday school. In fact, I received a prize one time for having had perfect attendance record in Sunday school and church for 5 straight years. Then in my late teens, I began to teach classes of smaller girls. Yes, sir, I have a good religious background. Something about this courteous young woman's statement made the Christian worker very uneasy. And by the way, if she was defending her gate to heaven by those statements, it'd make you uneasy too. There's something lacking. Something that didn't measure up. Gently, the Christian worker brought up the subject of salvation through Christ. The good news of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And the Christian worker talked of the suffering of Christ along with the resurrection of Christ. Then said that something had to happen in the heart in order for one to be saved from his sins. The eyes of the young woman opened wide. An expression of confusion came to her face. The Christian worker was talking of something foreign to her. She had almost no knowledge of biblical salvation. A few minutes of kind of probing told him that this likable lady, an intelligent religious person, knew nothing about coming to Christ for salvation. It was as though she was in the jungle and had never heard that Christ was the only way. She spent all of her childhood in one church, yet she was religious but lost. Is that true of you? Do you have religion, but you're lost?
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home. A quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.